hypocrite is a person that doesn't acknowledge that they have need in their life. They have problems, but they act like they have no problems and they're not honest with their problems. That's a hypocrite.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, in the studio with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. And New Life Community Church is a unique place here in the city of Chicago. And Pastor Mark, what would you say to somebody out there who may not have a church home or who's been listening online or they've been listening on the radio and they want to grow in their faith?
Yeah, I would say find a good church, gospel preaching, Jesus honoring, faith-filled, love-filled church. And there's some great churches around Chicagoland, and I'm friends with a lot of great pastors that really love Jesus and are in this city. But we'd invite you also, if you don't know where to go, we'd love for you to check out one of our locations in and around Chicagoland area. And if you get onto our website, you can go to our page that says locations, and you'll have a map of Chicagoland, and you can find one of our locations that's near you. We'd love to have you visit. And if you do, please let the pastor know that you heard about this through Straight Talk. We love to hear how our radio listeners give us some feedback.
If you say, I love God, I have a heart for God, I really haven't connected with the Church of Jesus, we want to challenge you this summer to visit, at least just take a visit to a good gospel preaching church. And as Pastor Mark said, if you don't know where to go, come visit us. You can find out more information at www.newlifechicago.org. God bless you.
Thanks, Josh. Tonight we continue with Pastor Mark's message called A Faith Worth Following. And it's from his series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. We'll continue in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 10 tonight. Here's Pastor Mark with A Faith Worth Following.
The gospel of Jesus comes not only in words, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with deep, deep conviction. Listen to me well. Hear me well. Receiving Christ doesn't have to be emotional. But it does have to be deep within your soul, the conviction of sin. It's not like, all right, I think I'll receive Jesus today. All right, Jesus, here I am. No. You got it all wrong. You come to Jesus. He breaks you down. You feel convicted by how you've offended him and how you've lived your life. And there's a desperate desire to want to change and live for God. That's called deep conviction. The gospel of God goes forward. If you have received the gospel, it comes that way. I love what Paul says, because you know that sometimes we think that when we share the gospel with people, this message that changes lives, sometimes we think that it has to be in a lot of eloquent speech, and there has to be a lot of wisdom and philosophy behind it. I've run into some people that come to me and say, Pastor, well, I don't share the gospel yet because I'm not sure I have the words to say what needs to be said. And I don't speak up because what if they ask me a hard question and I don't know how to answer? How many of you have felt that way before? What if they want to pray and I barely know how to pray? What if they ask me a hard question out of the Bible and I say, let me call Pastor Mark. Can I relieve your fears? I love what the Apostle Paul says. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In fact, I believe sometimes when you're too smart, too eloquent, too full of philosophy, that it may take the power out of the gospel. Oh, I think you should do your preparation. And I think you should study. And I think you should know the word. But here's what I want you to understand. The power of the gospel doesn't travel through human wisdom. The power of the gospel travels through vessels that are broken and willing to be used by him. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is where Paul was writing Thessalonians from. Paul says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved that I would know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said, I didn't want to come to you as some wise, eloquent, full of wisdom person. All I wanted to know is Jesus. I wanted to come to you simply preaching the message of Jesus. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Paul says, I didn't come to you strong, bold, eloquent, full of power. Man, I came broken. I came beat up. I came frail. Not with a lot of wisdom. I came trusting God. How many of you know when you're broken, frail, and weak, man, you have to lean on God heavy. And Paul says, that's how I came to you. That my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Why? So that your faith might not rest in men's wisdom, but on God's power. I want you to hear me well. Look up at me, church. Look up at me. Listen. Your faith should never rest on the eloquence or the wisdom of man. Your faith should rest in the power of God. Paul says, I don't want you to say, I believe in Jesus because he's a smart guy. I want you to say, I believe in Jesus because God has power to change me through that simple message of the cross. Listen, when you open up your mouth to speak of Jesus, you don't have to be a philosopher. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have a degree, a seminary degree. All you have to know is I'm weak, I'm unable, but I know Jesus has changed me. And I will open up my mouth and let the power of God flow through me so that other people can hear Jesus is alive and well and able to change whoever calls upon his name. Secondly, not only is this kind of faith, a faith worth following, one that believes in the power of God. Secondly, a faith worth following mentors people for transformation. Look what it says at the end of verse 5. It says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. It's not just about the words that you speak, it's about the life that you live. Paul says, we brought the gospel to you, and we talked about the gospel, but you saw his power. You saw the Holy Spirit moving. You saw the deep conviction of our soul. But this wasn't just about words. This was about a lifestyle. You see, the greatest platform that you have to share the gospel is your lifestyle. And Paul said, you know how we lived among you. You saw us up close. We're not charlatans. We're not tricksters. We're not trying to deceive you. You saw our lifestyle and you saw us up close and you saw that we're truly trying to live for God. Let me dispel a myth that I often hear. Some people that I run into that are no longer going to church tell me, well, Pastor, I don't go to church. I don't go to any church because, in my opinion, churches are full of hypocrites. How many of you have heard that? How many of you have said that? All right, come on. We're being honest here now. We're being honest. Can I dispel that myth? A hypocrite is a person that doesn't acknowledge that they have need in their life. They have problems, but they act like they have no problems and they're not honest with their problems. That's a hypocrite. A person that has issues, that's in church trying to follow God, as long as they're honest, they're never a hypocrite. Because, hey, it's the same like saying, hey, those people in the hospital are a bunch of hypocrites. They're in a hospital to get well and they're all sick. Yeah? I mean, isn't it? Why we go to a hospital? Because we're sick? They're only a hypocrite if they're really sick and they're saying, oh, I'm not sick. I'm healthy. Why are you in the hospital? Oh, just because I'm here to see the other patients that really need. But me, no, I'm not sick. That's a hypocrite. Listen, people that know they have issues and are honest about their issues, are in the house of God dealing with their issues, that is not hypocrisy. That is life. That's life. So as long as we're clear on that, you have issues, I have issues, he has issues, and he really has issues over there. Now you're looking over and say, who is he talking to, Pastor? So let's just, so we're all on the same page. Why don't you say out loud, I have issues. A lot of issues. Now turn to the person beside you and say, I have issues. Oh, they know it. If it's your spouse behind you, they're saying, yeah, yeah, let me tell you what your issues are. I got a list of 100 I'm going to tell you about. Let me tell you, you better never stop coming to church, the house of God, just because you have issues. You stop coming when you're unwilling to deal with your issues. When you say, I'm not going to deal with them. I'm not going to change. I don't care what anybody says. Then you might as well stay away because no one's going to change you. If you have issues and you're willing to deal with your issues and you're willing to be honest about your issues and you're willing to get prayer and willing to repent and willing to cry out to God and willing to seek the face of God, then you, hey, you are welcome in this place. Come on. I'm not afraid of your issues. I'm not afraid of your issues. And neither is God. He's not afraid of your issues. And Paul said, we lived among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that Paul says you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Is that even right? How many of you have heard, hey, you should never follow a man, only follow Jesus? And I believe that's true to an extent. My kids, they're going to look, I can tell them, hey, kids, don't look at dad, just look at Jesus. That's a cop out. Because really, God has put me in a place as a parent so that my kids learn from me and I should influence them. And as a father, I should be able to tell my sons, follow my example. Watch what I do. I'm not perfect, but follow my example because I'm following Jesus. And if I'm following Jesus and you're following my example, you're going to be more like Jesus because you follow me because I'm trying to live for God.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled A Faith Worth Following, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Tonight's Straight Talk is called A Faith Worth Following.
If you tell your kids, hey kids, I'm your dad, you follow Jesus. Don't mind that I'm getting drunk on the weekends. Don't mind that I'm blankety blank that wife of mine. Don't mind that I'm swearing at your wife. Don't mind that I'm cheating. Hey, don't follow me. Follow Jesus. That's a cop out if I ever heard a cop out. Seriously. Paul says, you became imitators of me and of the Lord. Another place in Scripture, Paul says, follow my example as I follow Jesus. There has to be a place in the church where spiritual men and women arise with maturity, with foundation, with a love for God, that you and I and new believers can look at and say, I'm following Jesus, but I'm going to learn how to be like Jesus as I learn from this woman of God or for this man of God, because I need to see a Jesus with flesh and blood on him. And Paul was saying, I'm living for God, so it's okay if you imitate me. I'm not perfect, and I never will be perfect, but follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus. Oh, I pray for men and women of God in this church like that. I pray for men and women of God that I can tell our teenagers, hey, look at that guy. Oh, he's not perfect, but follow his example, man. You'll be a lot more like Jesus when you follow that. Hey, look at that woman of God. Hey, young ladies learning how to be married. You know, the Bible says, let the older women teach the younger women about marriage and godliness. Hey, I pray that we have some older women that are living for God and walking in God, that have learned through perseverance, that they love Jesus. And I know they're not perfect, but that some of the young women can look at them and say, hey, if I follow their example, I'll be a lot more godly because they're a lot more like Jesus than I am right now. I pray for that kind of maturity. We need it in the church. I pray that I'll be able to tell you with a clear and honest conscience. Hey, I want to be able to say to the men, hey, men, follow my example as a father. I want to be example to the men of this church of what it means to be a godly dad. I want to be an example to the men of this church and what it means to be a godly husband. Cultivate my relationship with my wife and love her. Lead my kids. I want to be an example of what it means to be a godly man. I want to be able to say, hey, follow my example as I follow Jesus. With clarity and integrity of heart. Because I believe that we need leaders and mentors and spiritually mature people that we can rise up and imitate their behavior as long as we understand they're not perfect. And imitate their behavior as they follow Jesus. And that's what Paul said. This gospel led him, called him to rise up and be a mentor to these people. And he says, you welcome the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. You see, the kingdom of God, it tells us in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Some of you are disappointed with that. You say, I wanted the kingdom to be about eating or drinking. Not a lot of potlucks in the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You want to see if people are living in the kingdom of God, then you'll see people that are righteous and others are living in the right way. They have peace and contentment inside, and they have joy in the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's okay to be happy and have joy in God. It's okay to clap and rejoice. It's okay to laugh and smile. It's okay to have the energy of God, even in the church of God. Do you realize that? Because that's the culture of the kingdom of God. How many of you have ever been to church and felt like a funeral home? You started thinking, well, you know, when you go to church or religious gathering, everybody has to be real somber and sad and quiet. Almost like we drank lemon juice before coming to church. I don't believe that. I believe that our culture should be energized with the joy of the Holy Spirit. I believe that there should be right living and peace, but joy that gives us energy to accomplish things for the kingdom of God. That's the culture of the kingdom. And he says, and I close with this, and he says, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Because you followed my example and because the gospel got a hold of you, now other people have heard of your testimony and your life. And listen, the message has gone out and a lot of people have heard about you. And then it closes with this. And I wish I could preach this. So you're going to have to hang on and listen for the last couple of minutes because this is really, really important. Thirdly, a faith worth following changes us so dramatically that people talk about it. Verse 8, he says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith has become known everywhere. You know what he's saying? Is when the gospel got a hold of you, it got a hold of you so powerfully, so deeply, your change was so dramatic that it has, the literal word there is reverberated. People have heard about you because your change has been so dramatic. I'm going to mess up someone's drum set here. You know, you want to know what reverberation is? You see, I believe that all of us have a testimony and all of us have a sound of God. When the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, there was a sound of the Holy Spirit, a wind, and it came on and filled them, and they could not contain their testimony because God changed them so dramatically that everybody heard. The Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonians, the gospel got a hold of you so strongly that everywhere I go, people have heard about you. I don't even have to tell them your testimony. Your testimony has already gotten there. People have heard through a cousin of a cousin of a nephew of a neighbor that they've heard what God has done. Let me ask you about your testimony. How much has your testimony reverberated? You see, I believe that naturally your testimony will reverberate unless something is muffling the noise of it. This symbol is engineered to reverberate, to make a loud sound, unless something muffles the noise. If I hold it and muffle it, then it sounds like this. That doesn't sound too good. Doesn't sound like a lot of people are getting attention by that. If there was a room full of high school students in the cafeteria making a lot of noise and I said, listen up, no one would pay attention. But if I have nothing if I have nothing that's muzzling the noise and I say, listen up, hey, now the sound is sounding loud and clear. Why? Because nothing is muffling the noise. Here's the way it is with you and I. The Apostle Paul said, your testimony has reverberated all over the place. They report the reception that you gave us, and they tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Listen to me well. I'm going to close with this. What muffles the testimony of your life is when you still have idols in your life that you are unwilling to get rid of. When you have, oh, you say, Pastor, I don't have any idols. There's no statues in my life. I don't bow. No. An idol is anything that competes with the kingship and lordship of God. If your buddies are as important to you as God is, it muffles your testimony. If your habits are more important to you than God is, or just as important, influence your life, then it's muzzled your testimony. If you yourself and your dreams and your pursuit are not under the lordship of Jesus, then it is an idol in your life and it muzzles your testimony. Anything in your life that competes with the lordship of Jesus Christ muzzles your testimony, and your testimony does not reverberate with the sound of God in it, because when Jesus is king, everything in our life is submitted to his lordship. He is high and lifted up. Nothing comes close to the dominion, the power, and the place that he has in our life. If anything in your life influences you more than the kingship of Jesus, if anything in your life has more influence than God, if your boyfriend influences you more than God, then you have an idol. If your job is more important and your success than God, then you have an idol. If sports influence and dictate your life more than God, then you have an idol. Jesus will not compete with idols. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. Tonight was the second half of his message called A Faith Worth Following. Join us again for part 3, Living with Trouble. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, Josh, and myself, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful night, and God bless.